much abated, and when things were becoming more comfortable, there was a tremendous movement, migratory movement, of Christians fleeing into the deserts to live as hermits, to escape what they had come to conclude was the materialism and mediocrity and softness of the city. So they would go into these deserts to live in solitude, to try to pursue a life of the gospel with greater integrity, seeking the Lord in purity of heart. These were called the Desert Fathers. And after some time, these solitary hermits, some of them began to gather together and to live together, and that is called the rise of Cenobitism. Those hermits who lived in community together were called Cenobites. And once they came to live together in community, very soon rules were needed to regulate community life, to regulate life in common. And the most famous of these rules that was composed in the 6th century, which is still used by many communities of monks and nuns today, is the rule of Saint Benedict, which our own Trappistine nuns over in Whitehall, they follow that rule of life to this day. It was written in the 6th century. And so one of the more familiar communal forms of life to all of us is that of family life. And we can perhaps discover a rule for family life by observing the Holy Family. What a wondrous thing it is, church, that God becomes flesh in the basic unit of society, the family. And by doing so, God sanctified the family. Jesus knew what family life was like. He lived it, and therefore he redeemed it. Now let me tell you about a desert father who is closer to our times than the early centuries. That was Blessed Charles de Foucault. Charles de Foucault was driven in his life by trying to live the spirituality of Nazareth. Nazareth, you know that no-count town? Where Jesus lived most of his life before his public ministry for 30 years almost. Jesus was in Nazareth, a completely unimportant little town, living a life of simplicity and manual labor and littleness and obscurity. Nazareth. That's what Blessed Charles de Foucault in his own life sought to live himself. To live that kind of life that was simple and poor and where he could bring the presence of God to places where it usually was not experienced. That drove him in a long life of adventure, finally to live the last years of his life in the depths of the Sahara Desert among primitive Tuareg nomads. And there, Brother Charles was martyred in the year 1916 by Islamic terrorists. Brother Charles was always inspired by the Holy Family because that was so key to his spirituality of Nazareth. And he wrote that when he looked at the Holy Family, three beams of light shone forth. Number one, the lowliness of Jesus. Number two, the living charity that each member of the Holy Family had for each other. Number three, the contemplation of God in the Holy Family. These, in a few points, perhaps provide a holy rule for Christian families. Let's look at each one of them. Number one, the lowliness of Jesus. Consider the gospel today, all the incredible things that Simeon and Anna said about Jesus. And yet, he surrenders his power, so to speak, to go and be a son to his parents for 30 years. And so that's a good chapter in the rule for a Christian family. How do we surrender our power, our individual power, to imitate the lowliness of Jesus in the family? St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. We might add to that, out of reverence for the lowliness of Christ as he lived his family life. Defer to one another. Number two, the living charity that each member of the Holy Family had for each other. What is charity? Charity is giving for the good of others. Charity is giving for the good of others. That's the second chapter in the rule for a Christian family. Again, St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that we as Christians, our lives should be rooted and grounded in charity. That's what he says. Rooted and grounded in giving for the good of others. And again, St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, that we should always be looking to the interests of others rather than ourselves. And so, that's the second chapter in the rule for a Christian family. Living charity for each other. The third one that Brother Charles saw in the Holy Family was the contemplation of God by the members of the Holy Family. And this points to the importance, the vital importance, of prayer in the Christian family, individually and collectively. And here parents must take the lead and show the example of prayer to their children, show how important it is to have a life grounded in the Lord by making sure that there is some time every day in which individual prayer is sought, individual time alone with the Lord. Even if it's just 15 minutes, maybe some other things have to go. But that is so important. If a family is going to be a Christian family, for the parents at least to be having that relationship with the Lord. We can't give what we don't have. And collective prayer. Here again, parents show a great example to their children by showing them how to pray. And usually for most families, that happens when they gather around the table to eat. So I really challenge families not to let that become trivialized into a moment of a hurried, rote recitation of somebody else's words, namely, bless us, O Lord, and these your gifts, which is fine, but that shouldn't be all that it is. You know, that parents model for their children how to talk to the living Lord who is at the table with them, speaking spontaneous words of praise, thanksgiving, or petition, and encouraging other members of the family to do the same. And then, of course, by showing the importance of Christ as the center of one's life, by coming to Mass together every Sunday and being on time. What kind of message does it send to children when it's not important to be at Mass on time? That 1 hour in which we gather with the rest of the Christian community. As the saying goes, to be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late, and to be late is unacceptable. And so that goes true for Mass too, in which God is worshipped together with community. So the Christian family is one in which Christ, who lived in a family and redeemed it, is the center. Amen.